Hello, we're with Fergus Caskey, the Director of Research at UHPW and MBT. We're doing some work preparing for November in the Library, which is a month-long campaign to promote knowledge and evidence sharing within the NHS. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today, Fergus. Hello, how are you today?
Pleasure. Good, thank you. Yeah.
First question we have for you really is nice and simple. Can you tell us about your role?
Yes, I'm one of these lucky people who has multiple roles. So I am a kidney doctor by training. I have a university role, which is to do research, and I lead a couple of randomized controlled trials in kidney disease. But the main role for today is, as of March of this year, I became director of research at UHPW and NBT, so a joint role across the two trusts.
Fantastic. And so obviously that's a lot of work on your plate. How do you stay up to date?
I guess it's working with colleagues and doing multi-professional team meetings and sort of getting asking questions, being asked questions by early career colleagues, multi-professional colleagues and senior colleagues. Difficult, challenging clinical scenarios make me go away and read up on something. So there's nothing like a case to go away and really dig deep into the literature. That's where I've probably gained my deepest knowledge. It's sort of drilling down deep on a particular challenging case. Research-wise, I use the online journals. So I have a schedule where I make sure that I cover the four main medical journals and the four main kidney journals every month. And I pull down once a month, I pull down all of the journal articles that look interesting to me into a folder. And then I read them on my iPad. I block off some time to do that. But then within R&D, I think it's impossible. It's so broad ranging. I cannot be an expert in everything. And it covers, through from really quite early discovery science through to implementation science. So I rely on other experts within the teams. And I rely on people to have done systematic reviews of the evidence. So when they're applying for funding, for example, if they want to convince us that we should put in some small grants or we should support a grant application, the key thing I will look for is that they have systematically looked at the evidence and made sure that no one else has done this or made sure that no one else is doing this. And providing the gap is there, they've proven there's a gap in the knowledge base, then, we would see that there was an advantage in going forward with that idea. So the systematic nature of that is so important.
Fantastic. Yeah, we support quite a number of research projects across UHPW and MBT, and those that go on to publish systematic reviews as well. And we like nothing more than when we don't find anything, because that means that it's exciting and there is that gap to fill. So yeah, it sounds as if you're very organised and you've kind of got this sorted. But do you find you have to deal with information overload in your day to day?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's far too much information out there. So I guess it is a matter of accepting you can't know everything. So I mentioned earlier, there are many medical journals, so I limit it to four, and there are many kidney journals. So, and it's also got to be enjoyable. So I think you've got to, not feel that it's a burden, that you're, that you're failing because you're not keeping up with things. So I think it's about accepting the limitations of your time. It's about doing your best to stay up to date, enjoying staying up to date, enjoying that feeling of new knowledge and being at the forefront of stuff that's coming out from somewhere else in the country or somewhere else in the world. So I think it's making learning, part of your life that makes it more enjoyable.
Right. And are you part of any professional networks or communities of practices?
I mean, over the years, I've been parts of various networks. I mean, at the moment, I'm part of the International Society of Nephrology, which is a sort of global kidney health professional group. And so we do a number of initiatives through that. But possibly the one that is really useful, I find really useful for knowledge building, is that they do a newsletter every month, or it's now every quarter, where they pick four randomized control trials that have come out in the last quarter, and somebody writes a very nice commentary on them, so critiques them in a systematic view. So there's a structure to the approach that they've taken. They sort of look at the population and the intervention and the control arm and some of the systematic biases and whatever within it. So it's very educational, from having these experts in clinical trials who have critiqued this impartially, it's probably a 10-minute read for the whole newsletter, but you get four trials presented to you, and you have a systematic, and it trains you then in approaching when you read a trial yourself at a later date. It sort of helps you see through the gloss, the sort of fancy finish that people put on things. It helps you look for the little details that might be relevant to you deciding whether this trial is something you should believe at surface value or question a little bit more.
That sounds incredibly useful, and a theme that we're having through several of these interviews is that need for all of this information to be kind of put into bite-size, more manageable chunks so that people can properly assess them. Thanks. That's really interesting. In your opinion, what role do people play when it comes to knowledge sharing in organizations?
We are a person-based organization, and we work as teams, and so I think it's hard to see how we can't do all of this together. We rely on each other, you know. So I guess as part of delivering care, the evidence required is different, if you like, where I might ask questions about some of the clinical aspects of care would be a very medical perspective. We need nurses to be asking very different questions, perhaps about the way nurses deliver care. Do I need to put a plaster on this wound? What's the evidence for putting a plaster on this wound versus leaving it dry? What's the evidence for, let's take physiotherapy from a rehabilitation point of view? So I guess we all, from different perspectives, even sort of senior colleagues, junior colleagues, have very different views on the care that's being delivered, the things that are odd, or maybe the first time you come into you come from a different hospital. Let's say you're a trainee and you're training in one hospital, you come to a different hospital, suddenly you think, well, in the previous place they said we had to do it this way, whereas in this place they say you have to do it another way, and that's a clear sign. Both think they're right, and yet the fact that they're different shows you that we mustn't know what the true evidence is for what they're doing. So I think being reminded of that uncertainty is really important. So I think it's everybody brings different perspectives, different focuses, and I think that's what makes the whole patient pathway really important for studying and looking at questioning the evidence for everything that we do.
Great. And I think in some ways you've kind of answered this next question, which is about, would you say connecting people to the right knowledge and evidence and research, what role does that play in improving performance?
Yeah, I mean, I think we haven't got the challenge might be time, you know, so it's, and also familiarity. We kind of can get very, established in our ways of doing things, and we stop asking questions. So I think new people coming in, new people just asking questions, I've done an exercise recently in the hemodialysis situation, just taking every single step in a patient's journey, from arriving at the house, and even from being picked up at home, brought in, being put on a machine, etc. Where's the evidence for every, if you look systematically for the evidence for all of those things, where is it? And there's very, very little evidence of that. And sometimes you have to stop and really question all of these things which are built into your daily practice. We have these habits that we use to make life easy. We can sort of become very efficient if we have habits. But they stop you questioning things. So I think people that sort of in a very supportive way ask questions of each other, remind us that, we may not know what the right thing is, and we have to go off and maybe look for better evidence or different evidence, or maybe there's research that is going on that we should be taking part in and offering to our patients. So, yeah, I think we're... The more isolated we are, the more we risk just getting more stuck in our ways without questioning what we do.
Right, perfect. And a slight change of tack now. So the Lord Darzi commissioned report highlights several areas where established evidence and research hasn't been put into practice. What do you think are some of the biggest barriers to putting research into practice?
I think it's capacity, probably, people's capacity to take time to think about what they're doing, to ask those questions. The danger is you ask the question, you then get a job given to you to go away and look at that evidence, and then it might actually increase your workload. And when you're working at, 100% capacity, the very idea of that sounds frightening. So I think it's around that capacity. Now I think that requires a different way of approaching these things. It's a false idea that we need, we can't stop doing certain things to create more capacity to do things differently. So I think we need to be much more critical of what we're doing and what value we add from what we're doing. Stop doing certain things, create some space to do the non-urgent stuff, but really important stuff, which is going to be what really changes the service in the medium and longer term. We're kind of in the NHS, we're often stuck in the sort of urgent, important part, the quadrant of life. We don't have enough time set aside for the non-urgent but important stuff. So questioning what we do, reading the literature, looking for information, thinking about the care that we provide. Could we do it differently? Could we do it better? So I think it's about being organized and recognizing the importance of, in everybody's job plan, setting aside some time for us to ask those questions, do that reading, do that learning, and developing themselves professionally, but also developing the service.
Great. And kind of following on from that, with all of us in the NHS being stuck in that urgent, important quadrant, for the everyday UHPW and MBT colleague, do you have one final piece of advice for any one of them who in their current workload are looking to engage with research at UHPW and MBT?
Well, look at the website. So the R&D website has got various sort of, research is a very broad church, if you like. So you can get involved in many different ways. And it's not just about, doing a randomized controlled trial of something. It might be about, sitting, talking to a person who's considering taking part in research, or might be about, explaining treatments to people so that they can understand things. So I guess going onto the R&D website, understanding all of the range of research that we do at UHPW, and then seeing, what is the right kind of research that's available going on that you would want to get involved in. And the chances are that there's something that we're doing that is interesting to you, and it may not be what you immediately associate with research, but I think that's we as UHPW need to have all the different types of research, whether it's interview studies with patients, focus groups, evidence synthesis like systematic reviews or so on, right through to observational studies, registries, and randomized controlled trials. And underpinning all of that, and some of it sounds quite sort of academic, but underpinning all of it is actually about talking to patients, building teams, people working together to provide, to undertake the research. And that's much more human, and that's much more relatable than it perhaps sounds from the titles, which maybe are very off-putting and sound like they're not accessible to many, many people. The day-to-day bit of doing research is very accessible. It's about human connections. And so just sitting down, contacting somebody in R&D, sitting down, chatting to them, meeting them, and having that sort of that scary barrier sort of dissolve in front of you and realize, oh, this is all just that makes sense now. Someone's explained it to me. They were nice. They kind of they listened to me. They explained things to me. I understand it now. I could maybe get involved in this little way, and then these things can build into bigger ways.
Lovely. Well, that's it from us. Thank you so much for joining us, Fergus, and everyone, please enjoy the video. Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks.